So today is the disappearance day celebration of Srila Prabhupada. So we will read today's verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very appropriate for this occasion. And then we will concentrate our topics upon the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. Bhaktim lambda vata sadho Kim manya lambda shishyate Mayananta gune brahmani Anandano bhavatatmani Bhaktim Bhaktim, devotion of service to the Supreme Lord. Labdhavata, who has achieved sadhom for the devotee. Kim, what? Anyat, else. Avasishyate, remains. Mayi, to me. Anantagune, whose qualities are countless. Brahmani, to the absolute truth. Ananda, of ecstasy. Anubhava, the experience. Atmani, who comprises. Translation. What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotion of service unto me, the Supreme Absolute Truth, whose qualities are innumerable, and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience. Purport. Devotion of service to Lord Krishna is so pleasing that a pure devotee cannot desire anything else except service to the Lord. In the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna told the gopis that they would have to accept their own service as the ultimate reward of their devotion to Him, since nothing awards as much happiness and knowledge as devotional service itself. When one sincerely chants and hears the holy name and fame of Lord Krishna, the heart is purified and gradually one can appreciate the actual blissful nature of Krishna consciousness, loving service to the Lord. Bhaktim labdhavate sadon kim manyada vasishyate Mayananta gune brahmani Anandano bhavatatmani. What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotional service unto me, the absolute truth, whose qualities are innumerable and who are the embodiment of all ecstatic experience? So these series of verses from here until the end of this chapter, Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, he is giving the conclusion at the end of the story of Maharaj Pururava, who fell into illusion. And after his bewilderment, he decided to very closely take association, take shelter of the pure devotees of the Lord, in order to become completely purified in their association by always hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord, and thus to gradually attain perfection. So these verses, and this verse here today, is actually glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord. And here, of course, we see in this verse that, in essence, this verse is glorifying those devotees of the Lord who have attained complete perfection, that their devotional service is to such an extent that they've actually achieved association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they're able to fully realize the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every step of life. And having attained that ultimate goal, they are completely satisfied. Of course, some devotees on that platform are Nityasiddha devotees, and some devotees on that platform are Sadhana Siddhas. So Nityasiddha devotees, of course, just like today, the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada is a Nityasiddha devotee, which means that he is an eternally liberated personality who descends from the material world, not because he is forced to by karma, or because there are any material desires or any material contamination. Srila Prabhupada descended from the spiritual world just to assist the Lord in his pastimes in delivering the conditioned souls in the material world. So, there, you know, throughout the course of time, we see that these are called Shaktivesha avatars, or those who are specifically empowered by the Lord to do some amazing activity on behalf of the Lord, which can only be done if one is empowered by the Lord. So just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he considered that Lord Jesus Christ and Muhammad, that they were also Shaktivesha avatars. So in the same way, you know, in comparison, we can see just the contribution that Srila Prabhupada has made, that there is no doubt that he is Shaktivesha avatar. Nityasiddha, one who descends from the spiritual world to assist in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So he is not God, just as Jesus or Muhammad are not God, but they are servants of the Supreme Lord. So, and we also see that when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, he brought many inhabitants from the spiritual world with him. Here in this verse it mentions the gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis of Vrindavan, many of them were also Nityasiddha, eternally liberated devotees. There is never a time when they were covered by the material energy, where they were influenced by illusion or ignorance or any material desires. They're always situated on the spiritual platform. Even though such personalities, we see also in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appears and with his associates. Previously, in the times of Krishna, the astra, or the weapon, was the Brahmastra. When people become demoniac, completely defiant in the against the orders of the Supreme Lord, they may be killed wholesale by Brahmastra, like a to the power of nuclear weapons today, but executed by mantra. So of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also has his astra, but that astra is his associates, and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In this age, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he doesn't kill the demons or those who are very, very fallen, very sinful, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered that already they are all as good as dead, because people in this age are actually so wretched in their existence that they may as well be dead. No, that's a fact. There's no use killing someone whose existence is already so wretched that many people are wishing that maybe death would be better than this. Many people on this world think like that. Maybe death would be better than the suffering that I'm going through. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's no use in killing sinful people. He decided, especially being requested by Nityananda Prabhu, whose incarnation Lord Balaram, that you deliver them from their demoniac mentality. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mission was to kill the demoniac mentality, to make all the demons, all the people born in the family of demons, and all the people born in the family of very sinful persons, all the people born in the families of very wretched people, he wanted to make them devotees of the Lord. So for this end, the Lord's eternal associates, they descend. And in their pastimes, we see that Krishna asked that you give up your sinful activities, give up your irreligious practices, give up all your nonsense, all your so-called formulas of religion, and you actually surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. So of course people did not do that, so therefore Lord Krishna appeared 500 years ago again, but this time he appeared in his form as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach people by his own personal example how to be a devotee of God. And he made the process very, very simple. Krishna said that if you surrender unto me, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So you will get liberation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually gave more than that. He said, if you chant Hare Krishna, in this way, a very easy way to surrender to the Supreme Lord, not only will you get liberation from all miseries, but you will actually get not only just Krishna, but you will get Krishna Prema, pure love of Krishna. So it was Rupa Goswami described, this pure love for Krishna that has never ever been given by anyone before, not even Krishna. The Krishna Prema, especially on the level of the Brajavasis, that level of love of God has never been given. Even Krishna was not giving. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he is giving something very, very special, but at the same time, he is making it very, very easy. And at the same time that he's making it very, very easy, he's personally demonstrating, you just do like this. So we see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would say, chant the holy names of Krishna, and then to make it very easy, he would chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's, as you see, very easy. Surprisingly, how many people get that wrong, and they actually They chant the names of various demigods. There's Kali Kirtan. Although in the Shastras, no Acharyas have ever mentioned Kali Kirtan and all these different types of things. So very simple instruction. You chant the holy names of the Lord. There are many different holy names of the Lord, but they must be on the level of Vishnu Tattva. And I will show you how to do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And in Kali Yuga, people are so dull that they got it wrong. They still get it wrong, you see. And they would chant, then they would go and they would chant Kali Kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya made it very easy. But not only that, his associates, they do the same thing. So this is what we get in the life of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada is demonstrating how to follow the very simple instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That just in case, as we see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a very simple instruction, and that is very difficult. Kali Yuga, people are so dull and slow and lazy, confused, bewildered, unfortunate, so cheated. So therefore, to make it even more simple and more accessible, he has his associates even demonstrate on a even more, as a compatible level. So this we actually see in the life of Srila Prabhupada. So we're going to read some different excerpts from the life of Srila Prabhupada, and we should bear that in mind, that Srila Prabhupada, in many of these pastimes, we will see Srila Prabhupada as a neophyte devotee. We will see Srila Prabhupada being chastised by his spiritual master. We see Srila Prabhupada making some foolish mistakes, out of apparently not knowing, different etiquettes in devotional service. We see Srila Prabhupada apparently becoming purified. We will see Srila Prabhupada becoming contaminated by bad association. All these different things that we go through in Kali Yuga, we will actually see in the life of Srila Prabhupada these very things, because they show us that what will you do in this circumstance? So for every circumstance, we can look at the Nitya Siddha, the personal associates of the Supreme Lord, and we can see, aha, if I can just do that simple thing that he did, I can do that. I can do that. Just what he did, yes, I can achieve all perfection. Let us therefore, Srila Prabhupada, if you have a look at Srila Prabhupada's lectures on the disappearance or even the appearance day of he would often describe his connection with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from the beginning, and some important transcendental incidences in this way to help us to have faith in the process, because he went through the same things. Not that Srila Prabhupada is asking us to do something that is impractical or very difficult, and also to highlight the mission of ISKCON and the main service that we're how we serve Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, and how we actually serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, and in doing this, Srila Prabhupada's life becomes the standard of activity for many, many tens of thousands of years, actually. And these incidences from his life, he would then, while writing the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he would often speak of these incidences again and again, and usually they form the backbone of our philosophy on hearing and chanting and the process of devotional service, the stages of devotional service, how to associate with devotees, the importance of association with devotees. So we're going to go back to 1922. This is Srila Prabhupada's first meeting with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada, in speaking of this incident where he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was saying that what he appreciated, he was speaking in 1976, so he was saying what he appreciated 40 years ago, the same principle is still going on in ISKCON under his direction, and he said there's no change. We see that these principles which are established in his life, which are also established within his books, there will be no changes in these principles for thousands and thousands of years. So in 1922, Srila Prabhupada, one of his good friends, said to Srila Prabhupada that he should come and meet this saintly devotee who had come to Calcutta. And of course he was referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in his father's home, his father used to entertain all sorts of sadhus. Now, anyone who is a sadhu, his father would bring them to his home and he would offer them gifts and whatever they desired, and he would serve them and ask for the blessings, for Srila Prabhupada, that, you please bless my son that he'll be a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. So anyone, any sadhu. Now, Srila Prabhupada used to notice that many of these so-called sadhus, their habits were not actually like sadhus. They were not quite saintly persons. And he was a little disenchanted. His father was a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada said that. And Gaur Mahan, always from the very beginning of Srila Prabhupada's life, of course, at a very young age, he gave him, Radha Krishna deities and Rathkat, and, always tried to teach him how to be a pure devotee of Shishu Radha Krishna, coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These were actually their family deities. And but at the same time, he was very liberal. Some of the Prabhupada mentions, that some of the sadhus, his father, they would give some ganja, because many of the Shivites, they would, they smoked the ganja like that. So, and in those days, the ganja was easily available, so the sadhus would come and he would give the ganja like that, because that's what they wanted. So, I see some of the devotees and the nails drop. So, in this way there's different standards of, Srila Prabhupada wasn't so happy with it. So, he's thinking, oh, another sadhu. I've seen so many sadhus. They said, no, he's very nice, this one is different, you must come. Srila Prabhupada, he mentions that as a young man, he was always the leader. That unless he gave his approval, his friends couldn't independently approve something. So in other words, if Srila Prabhupada doesn't approve this sadhu, then he's not approved amongst their friends. whether he was, you know, a young boy in school or college or, you know, working. That was Prabhupada's situation. He was always a leader. So, you know, he had to go. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada went. Basically, they forced him. He was dragged along. Later on, of course, Srila Prabhupada, even when he'd established his movement, he would say in his lectures that, you know, I'm eternally grateful to, you know, my friend who, you know, did that. Of course, also, Srila Prabhupada said that you may think that this was by accident or by prophecy, as you may think, because this, of course, was the beginning moment that set Srila Prabhupada on the quest to spread the cult of bhakti all over the world. And that had been prophesied even by Narada Muni, Bhakti Devi herself. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahatma, she said that she will one day travel throughout the world. And Narada Muni himself said, yes, and I will, you know, serve you by spreading the bhakti cult all over the world. We said that Srila Prabhupada is a coming in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni, as we all are, and therefore directly empowered by Narada Muni. Srila Prabhupada used to say at different places, when he was in different temples, he would point out, you see, Narada Muni is here, and he would say. So Narada Muni said he would, you know, travel throughout the world spreading the bhakti cult, and Prabhupada would point out, yes, he is here, you know, in London, he is here. Also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they also predicted that in every town and village the Lord's holy name will be chanted, and Bhaktivinoda Thakura also envisioned that very soon a great personality will come who will move freely throughout the world, you know, powerfully spreading the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many predictions like this. The Srila Prabhupada said, you know, whether by accident or prediction, as you please. We have to understand, of course, that no one ever, apart from Srila Prabhupada, no other person fulfilled this prophecy. So, anyway, Srila Prabhupada entered with his friends, and as they were offering their obeisances, in the first sighting of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, even before they had arisen, already Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was ordering, you are educated young men, you should preach this cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the world in English, I guess. So Prabhupada's still rising, offering his obeisance. Already he's got the instruction straight. It's an instruction that will be confirmed again and again. He says, you are educated young men, why don't you preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gospel in the Western countries? Prabhupada said this was his blessing, you know, this instruction by the Guru was his blessing. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, although he was naturally pleased, as we said, because these were his family deities, Radha Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming in his line, but in essence, Prabhupada points out that we see, you know, this leela, this pastime, you know, he argued, he put up some arguments, as we all do when we first meet, you know, devotees of the Lord, and they give some instruction, you should become Krishna conscious and reduce your material activities, then you'll be happy. And we all like to put up some arguments. So Srila Prabhupada, at that time, of course, India was independent. India was dependent, a dependent country. Many poets at that time in India were used to write that, you know, even other countries like Japan and, you know, this one and that one, they're all independent, but India is such a great country, you know, we are dependent. And you know, in that state, they considered without independence, that independence had to come first, otherwise who will ever listen to their message? You know, they're basically a country whose culture is under siege. So, you know, he spoke this to Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, the core, he said, this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is too important to wait. For independence or dependence, it is not dependent on any other thing. It is too important. It is essential. It must be preached. I guess. So actually, Prabhupada put up different arguments. Prabhupada, of course, at that stage, was a member of the Gandhi movement. He said, I was a devotee of Gandhi. And he was wearing the kada, Gandhi's cloth. And he had, although he had gone to college studying you know, medicine and what have you, he had rejected his qualifications, his diploma or what have you, when as many students did, they in order to try and oppose the British, then they wanted to oppose their educational system and their legal system, so they refused to accept their qualifications. So Srila Prabhupada was in this situation, and he was actually therefore working with Dr. Bose in his chemical laboratory. So he put up so many different arguments, but then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, he very soundly defeated Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, he was very pleased. He was actually very happy to be defeated, and he, then as they exited, and when they went outside, of course he noticed that the Gaudiya Math, they treated him very nicely. They, because the Gaudiya Math had been established by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in 1918, so this is 1922, so it's just, and but. You know, they gave Prashad, just as we do now, they gave Prabhupada Prashad as he was leaving, and you know, escorted him out, and you know, so that, you know, you speak to the Guru, and then a few disciples come, and you know, if you have any other questions, whatever. Anyway, when he went out, his friends asked, so, you know, what is your opinion? You know, this, he said, Prabhupada said, yes, that, yeah, here is a personality who is going to preach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gospel, and he was thinking that he had met a very nice sadhu. So yeah, at that stage Prabhupada actually considers that was the date of his initiation by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, because he said from that moment on he never ever stopped thinking of him. So because he accepted him within his heart, then initiation was there. Officially, because he was initiated in 1932-33, it was 10 years later. So officially he was initiated, but Prabhupada considers that was the point, the first point of initiation, because he actually accepted him. He fully accepted him. We cannot say that just because we meet a devotee, you know, one of the initiating gurus in ISKCON, we cannot say, oh yes, I met Jai Pitaka Swami Maharaj, and you know, he is my guru. I mean, unless one fully accepts within the heart and is prepared to, very, very pleased to, you know, surrender and to serve that great personality, one cannot say, "Oh, yes, I am, you know, his disciple." We see that when Srila Prabhupada was in India, that many times different personalities would come and they would say, "Srila Prabhupada, yes, we are your disciple. We are your followers and we are your disciples." And Prabhupada said, No. You know, these Western boys, they're my disciples because they actually follow me." He said, "You are the type of disciple who does not follow," which is, you know, not really disciple. They would say, people would say, "Oh, yes, we are your disciples." No. So one cannot take these statements of Srila Prabhupada out of context. But, you know, actually, if that real acceptance of the spiritual master is there within the heart, then one can consider oneself a disciple from the very first beginning. If it's properly there and one is prepared to surrender and serve, you know, with that. So, now, Srila Prabhupada, he considered that at this stage he was actually a married person. He had one child, and he also had a responsible, you know, career, work position. So, although he accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's Sarasvati's instruction that actually he should just preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, he wanted to do that, but he considered that it would be an injustice that he's just got married and it wouldn't be right, and you know, he has so many responsibilities. There's one lecture here where he gave 1969, that at that time you know, for a moment he was thinking, "So I thought that it would have been better if I was not married." you know, so in other words, we can see, not that Srila Prabhupada was against marriage, but we can see that from the very beginning there was that strong desire that if I had the opportunity, I would probably immediately just take this opportunity. You know? So Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, in essence, was ready for Srila Prabhupada to immediately join the movement. Although he never said you should leave your wife and family, he never ever said that. Nor was he expecting Srila Prabhupada to. But because of the circumstances, it was very difficult. There was some separation. Prabhupada says, "I should have taken the opportunity immediately, but Maya is there, so I thought like that." So, Srila Prabhupada, again, we see Srila Prabhupada, in essence, in the same role as, you know, the most beginning devotee, you know, that sometimes they actually want to, you know, give their spiritual life a push, but they're so entangled in material life, so entangled in their case by Maya, that they cannot do it at all. Very hard to disentangle them. And if they sometimes, you know, would try to make a slight move towards Krishna consciousness, then their relatives, their friends, their own mind, you know, their colleagues, you know, society, so many people will actually, no, 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 what are you doing? don't do that. You know, that's foolish. I saw the devotees in 1978, and I'd sort of come out to see the kirtan because I'd seen them the previous week. And the devotees invited me back to the temple, and then that night they asked me to stay and to join. And you know, fortunately I did. So the next morning they drove me home, and I was really just going to go in, throw a few clothes in a bag, and then just join the Hare Krishnas. So I went in and I saw my mother. I said, you know, I've got, you know, 19, 20. I said, Mum, I'm joining the Hare Krishnas. I'll see you in a couple of years. I think she actually screamed from memory. She just, you know, she actually screamed. And then she tried to convince me. She said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said, you know, do you know anything about them? People chase them down the street trying to kill them with baseball bats. You can't do this. You can't do this. You know? Because in those days she wasn't far wrong. So anyway, as she's talking, you know, I'm just throwing a few clothes in the bag and threw it over my shoulder, jumped in the car of the devotees outside, and I was gone. I don't think I did see him for a couple of years. But, you know, it's the sort of situation which is very common. Even we see that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, one time he was initiating one of his disciples as sannyas. And during the ceremony, you know, his wife, who probably at first thought it was a good idea, decided against it, and came and dragged that almost sannyasi out of the ceremony by the ears and took him home and gave him an earful. And of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, although it is funny, actually he cried, you know, that he tried to save that person from material life, but you know, Maya got him. Not that the wife is Maya, you know, because many wives actually, you know, are very happy to, you know, be Krishna conscious, but and we shouldn't consider the wife to be Maya. Mm. But you know, if the husband or the wife literally very averse to Krishna consciousness, there's an element of Maya, you know, working there. And so Srila Prabhupada was considering like that, you know, that Maya is there. So he thought, I won't. In another, I'm just looking at this point here, we were talking before how Prabhupada was always considered the leader. He said that one astrologer looked at his hand and said, your hand speaks that your order will be executed. It was written in Prabhupada's palm. But anyway, on this same matter, Prabhupada says, so he was thinking, you know, that he was the right person who's taken up Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message, and now it will definitely be distributed. He had that faith in Bhaktisiddhanta. He said that, so I was at that time a fool, but still I pined like this. I accepted him as my spiritual master. So that he considered that he was a great fool, that he another time in a letter to one devotee, he says, at that time I was already married, I could not take his words very seriously. could not. Not that he didn't, but he couldn't. And in this way, I passed on as a householder by the causeless mercy of my divine master. That order of preaching was impressed on my heart. So we see the effect that Śrīla Bhakti Siddhanta, and here, of course, these verses of the Śrīmad Bhagavatam are describing the effects of associating with the devotees of the Lord. Now, in several places in the Śrīmad Bhagavatam, we've actually just been studying one in the 13th canto of the first chapter. Śrīla Prabhupāda describes this moment in time, and he describes it in relationship to the potency of one moment's association with a pure devotee. Just a moment. How brief that moment is, but how powerful. And so Śrīla Prabhupāda offered obeisances practically as he was rising. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati entered his heart and made a powerful impression before he even rose, just a moment, and that was enough that yes, the impression was there. Even though he couldn't take up that service, the domino effect was there. So he says in the we see in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Dhritarashtra, after hearing from Vidura, he, verse 29, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, he broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura. Prabhupada says in the purport, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Śrīmad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even by a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. Just like our verse today. We are not ashamed to admit that this was a fact. This fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favoured by his divine grace, Śrīmad Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Śrīmad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of his divine grace. So of course here we see Śrīla Prabhupāda demonstrating in his own life, and we can also appreciate that we also come to the ISKCON temple, and anyone who comes to an ISKCON temple of course is getting the association of Śrīla Prabhupāda and all his followers. That association, just like Śrīla Prabhupāda is here. Which is an interesting point, because I have to mention, I often see, especially the ladies, but I quite often sit in the back sitting in Prabhupāda when we do the Damodara Astakam. They sit in the back to Śrīla Prabhupāda. The men generally, not always, but generally sit sort of on a bit of a diagonal, so they haven't got the back of Prabhupada, and they've, sort of can see the deities. The women, the huge majority, do sit with their back, and sometimes even right in front of the asana, to Śrīla Prabhupada, which is not good. Śrīla Prabhupada is there in his murti. He's one of the a little difficult to understand in spiritual circles, but actually there's a couple of quotes just to illustrate that. For instance, In the Nectar Devotion, right, in chapter 8, offences to be avoided. In item 28, that one should not sit with his back toward the deity. Okay, now one may say, oh, well, there's the deity of the Lord, and, you know, Prabhupada's Murti is not, you know, because he's a jiva, a living entity, and they are God, so yes, we can accept that with the deities of Radha Krishna, but not the Prabhupada. So, let us have a little quote, see what sort of Prabhupada says about that argument. He says that in a letter to Kalananda in 1976, he said, the photos of my murti are very nice. The murti of the spiritual master should be treated as good as the deity, with a capital B. So, pretty hard to refute that. And then he quotes, Shakshad Dalit Venisa Master Sastri, Uktastata Pavyata Iva Sabvi. The guru should be treated as good as God. This is stated in all the shastras. The difference is that God is the master God and guru is servant God. So the installation ceremony for such a murti should be similar to that done for other deities. All temples can have this deity if they like. He did make an exception that, you know, if temples which only have a picture of Panchatattva, because many temples only had pictures in those days, then they should not have a murti of Prabhupada, because he didn't want them to have some greater, you know, form of Prabhupada than the, you know, he wanted the forms of the Lord to be greater than his own pictures or something like that. But otherwise, we see that you know, the murti of the spiritual master should be treated as good as the deity. So we shouldn't, just as we don't sit with our back towards the deities, we never sit with our back towards Śrīla Prabhupāda. And we should consider that just as Radha Krishna of there, Śrīla Gaura-Nitāya, Jagannath Balarama Subhadra, Śrīla-Gaura Śrīla, Dwarka Śrīla, Govardhana Śrīla, Śrīla Nrisimhadeva, Damodara, and Madhya Yashoda, just as they're all there, then we all, in the charis, we also consider Śrīla Prabhupāda is sitting there like that. This is the, these things happen on the spiritual platform. So another letter, Prabhupada says, a qualified disciple increases the importance of the spiritual master. You know, this is one of the things I've been speaking about in the last couple of weeks, that I do notice here in Melbourne, probably because I don't go to other temples very much at this stage, but that the importance of Śrīla Prabhupāda that we may have previously placed is slipping. So in other words, we would never previously sit with our back towards Śrīla Prabhupāda, but now we do. We would never have an arti, an entire arti, without singing his prayers. Now we do. You know, these things. But Prabhupāda is saying, it is that a qualified disciple actually increases the importance of the spiritual master, not decreases. Okay. So, in a letter to Tushta Krishna, who had a lot of problems by decreasing the importance of the spiritual master, he says, your next question is, should we love Krishna or love the spiritual master? And so you cannot go to Krishna directly loving him. It is common sense that if Krishna is the object of your love, his pet dog is also the object of your love. Friends meet friends, and if the friend is with his dog, the gentleman pats his dog first, is it not? So the man becomes automatically pleased, his dog is patted. I have seen it in your country. The conclusion is this: without pleasing the spiritual master, he cannot please Krishna. If anyone tries to please Krishna directly, he is fool number one. Another letter here, he says, to Jayatirtha, who also, interesting enough, had problems by minimizing the importance of the spiritual master later on. He said, as soon as one thinks that he is greater than his spiritual master, That is the greatest offence. Krishna will give one everything, but to those offenders everything is lost. And then he says, next you ask, here's another letter to Tushka Krishna, next you ask if I am present in my picture and form. Yes, in form as well as in teachings. To carry out the teachings of Guru is more important than to worship the form, but none of them should be neglected. Form is called vapu and teachings is called vani. Both should be worshipped. The vani is more important than vapu. In the letter to Brahmananda, he says, if you feel very strongly about my absence, you may place my pictures on my sitting places, and this will be source of inspiration for you. The nice letter here to Jadarani, he says, if you think of me and work for me, then I am in your heart. If you love somebody, he is in your heart. It is a common thing, everyone understands it. If I hate somebody, or if I love somebody, he is in my heart. Therefore, simply by hating Krishna, he gets salvation like Kamsa. So if you want to hate, hate Krishna. There is no difference between me and my picture. Therefore, we should honour and keep pictures in that spirit. If we throw pictures this way and that way, that is offence. The name and picture are as good as the person in the spiritual world. In the material world, either picture or person, everything is illusion. So, you know, there's some different Shastric references. So, we should be a little careful in that regard. We see here, you know, in the Nectar Devotion, chapter 12, in the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, my dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods of worship, the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is worship of the Lord's devotees. In the Adi Purana, Krishna says to Arjuna, my dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. Prabhupada says, no one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must approach him through his pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, the first duty is to accept the devotee as spiritual master and then to render service unto him. So, you know, that's. Therefore, I've been trying to stress that because I see that these things are becoming minimized in some ways. And, you know, of course. You know, we're not expected to understand everything. You know, so don't. People shouldn't worry that sometimes we have to bring these things up. It's not that we're considering someone a great offender if, you know, they've done something wrong. There's an interesting story about this that. In one of Srila Prabhupada's first meetings, when Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, it's hard to establish exactly where this one took place, but generally he saw him sitting down. So Bhakti Siddhanta says, oh, he was sitting on the floor. Prabhupada came and was sitting on the floor. But one time he came in, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, well, he was sitting on a couch. So Srila Prabhupada just came in and sat on the couch with him. So, you know, so you see how, you know, the leela of just being, you know, a new devotee, he just doesn't know what should be done and what shouldn't be done. You know? So Prabhupada looked around and he saw, well, oh, everyone else is sitting on the floor. No one's saying anything. None of the disciples or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said anything to Prabhupada, and nor did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati say. So he just sat there for the whole discussion, and he didn't move. He just sat there, but he understood So then from the next day, he sat on the floor like everyone else. See? So, it's not taken as a great offence if we don't understand things, but of course, if we do things repeatedly while knowing it, that's a different thing. That does become an offence. So if we've been instructed and then we just do the same thing, we start to tiptoe into the realm of offences, and we have to be a little careful there. And the danger is, of course, that Srila Prabhupada saw what the other devotees were doing, and therefore automatically the rules and regulations become manifest, the understanding. But if new people come, and this is what I'm saying, as devotees who are literally guiding the people who come to the temple, whatever we're doing, they're going to do. If we sit with our back to the Prabhupada, they'll do that. And if they do that for 2 or 3 years, when someone mentions it to them, they'll get upset and say, why are you changing the standard? Yeah, so these things have to be adjusted carefully. You know, we have to be careful not to, too harsh with each other or with new people. But we should gradually establish the proper standards. We should somehow or another, and we should certainly increase, never decrease the standards. Yeah. So these things, there can be a little discussion. So it's a nice point, and hopefully there should be discussion on these things. There's many things to be considered, so we have to consider all these things and consider that under all the circumstances, all things considered, one is what is proper behaviour in the temple room, what is the etiquette, and two, how it affects with the preaching, and we have to certainly establish what is proper. So a little bit of adjustment, we have to be careful how we approach it, but these things certainly have to be discussed, but we shouldn't just blindly just not take them up there. It was probably a good call by the Vakya Manaji. Prabhupada's worship is going on. As we see in these quotes, Krishna is more pleased when you pat his dog, so to say, that's Prabhupada's humility, but when you worship his pure devotee, Vaishnava, they, in their humility, they consider themselves the dog. That not even the dog, the pet dog of the Lord, but the pet dog of the Lord's servant of the servant. That's their humility. But when someone worships such a humble, great devotee of the Lord, Krishna is very pleased. So in other words, if one offers the most insignificant service nicely to Srila Prabhupada, Krishna will immediately recognize that person. But one may sit with their back towards Srila Prabhupada and sing boldly towards Radha Damodar, what have you, and the effect is not so wonderful. That's why we have, every year we have Srila Prabhupada's celebration of his disappearance day and appearance day, so that we always increase his importance and his standards, and that they never ever become decreased. So these things should always be discussed. There are many such incidences, and as I say, we should be just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati never really mentioned the Prabhupada, but Prabhupada immediately adjusted the next day. His disciples never really said anything. Had he done it again, certainly, you know, someone may have given a little tap on the shoulder and the hook may have come in. But had he been instructed and then done it again, you know, see what I mean? So we have to be a little consider a circumstance, but at the same time we should always be working towards maintaining the proper standard. I mean, personally, I just usually just offer obeisances at the door when I first walk in. I walk into the temple and I just offer my obeisances to the Lord and his devotees like that, and then join in on whatever time's coming. Usually that's what I do. You know, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puja is going on. We should really head in that direction. You know, that would probably be better. You know, it says even in the deity manual that if a Vajari is worshipping the Lord and a pure devotee enters the temple, he can stop worshipping the Lord and offer his respects to that pure devotee of the Lord. He can stop the Vajari work. Not that we, you know, generally do that, but it is acceptable. So just give an idea of that. But certainly, you know, we just have to be a little careful, of course, that we don't become, you know, the danger is that we feel ourselves to be great devoted to the Lord rather than the humble servant of Prabhupada. That's the dangerous mentality, and Krishna doesn't really appreciate that. And this is what we see in the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, just the perfect mood. You know, just always this humble devotee, never considering, you know, any qualification at all. Just, you know, in his mind, his only qualification is that his spiritual master gave him his mercy and that he accepted that, and tried to follow him without deviation. You know, Prabhupada considers that's his only qualification. So that's the nice mood. There's a nice song which we will sing a little bit later, but I'll actually read the translation now. Srila Prabhupada When Srila Prabhupada arrived, when he arrived in America, and he was in the Boston Harbor for a couple of days after his arrival, so he wrote this prayer. I'll just read the translations. My dear Lord, this is called Makini Bhagavad Dham, which means preaching, you know, eternal religious principles in America, basically. My dear, or in the West, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. You can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me here to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So, you know, because Prabhupada prayed for us on that day, therefore Krishna fulfilled that desire. Therefore, we're devotees now. And that's how a devotee should think. Not that, you know, because of my great qualification, I have become, I'm naturally a very big devotee. Yeah. Anyway, Prabhupada goes on. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly repeats it, receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So then in his song, he quotes the second chapter, verses 17 to 21. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So you see Krishna's process, that we hear and chant and serve the pure devotees. That makes the hearing and chanting work. If we hear and chant and not serve the pure devotees, it will not get the same effect. As soon as an irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruit of actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. So then his song continues. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. So, very nice prayers by Srila Prabhupada, just showing the proper mood of the devotee. This was the second prayer that he composed. He composed another prayer, prayers to the lotus feet of Krishna, and in that first prayer, of course, there are very strong strong prayers directed towards Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in this second prayer he is praying to Lord Krishna. So again, his first prayer first through the spiritual master, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he offers his prayer to Sri Krishna like that. So following the same process. Any other comments or questions on? So, just to conclude, I've actually got here. We can discuss. Prabhupada met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati on four occasions. Some have done that. And then there is a final letter of instruction. If we have time, we can discuss all these things, but we'll see how we go. We may have to have a little break every now and then. So just to conclude this first meeting, Srila Prabhupada discussed that in essence, we heard how Prabhupada was considering that he should have joined. He wanted to take up the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati straight away, but somehow or another, because of what he was thinking, you know, that I have my responsibilities, other responsibilities, and due to circumstances, he didn't, and you know, he sort of condemned himself a little bit because of that. But we see what Krishna did. Now, Prabhupada describes that we see in the Bhagavad Gita that when a devotee somehow doesn't complete the process of devotional service in this lifetime, they are given a chance in another life to take birth in a wealthy or well-to-do family. Prabhupada says, but the problem there is that when one becomes wealthy, that, or you know, nicely situated in the material world, one tends to become a little comfortable, and all of one's friends and relatives immediately surround one, because one has facilities. So therefore, sometimes Krishna shows some special favor, and he takes everything away. And of course, then all the friends and family, they flee in all directions. As Chanaka Pandit says that, he says, friends and relatives run and flee from a devotee of the Lord, but one who stays with them becomes glorious. So this is what Srila Prabhupada, in his astrological chart, it was described, astrologers told him that he would be at least as big as Birla, I think it was, Birla, most wealthy, you know, multi-millionaire, you know, in India, in their family. Are they probably still, right? And what happened was that Prabhupada, because he was so good at his job, everybody wanted him. And he was working for Chandra Bose, and there was some, I think, English company and some others, many different companies, they wanted him. So he said, I got a little puffed up that, you know, I was thinking, oh, you know, I'll get my terms, you know, because everybody wants me. So I'll hold out for the good terms like this. So he was thinking like that, but it sort of backfired in a way, and people conspired against him and almost set him up, and he ended up losing out in all directions. He was saying that he was a bit foolish, because had he taken any of the positions, he could have dictated his terms after he got the position and everything. But he said he was, you know, so he said, Krishna removed his intelligence to be materially successful, but supplied him the intelligence in one sense how he could actually come towards Krishna. So in this way, he said, when I read that verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I shuddered. The Krishna will take away everything, and he shuddered. So it was like almost a sense that I think Krishna is definitely going to do this to me. So in that way anyway, gradually Krishna did bring him to that point where he had to give up everything and and at the same time he says my intention was to start this movement. So from the very first, Prabhupada intended to start fulfill the mission of his spiritual master. I was simply planning in a different way, therefore Krishna's favour. I never deviated from his plan, Prabhupada saying. Since I heard it from my Guru Maharaj, I simply planning how to do it successfully, but I thought at that time I'll be able to do it if I get some money. Let me do some business for some time. That I was thinking. But Krishna said, even if you were a pauper, you tried, you'll get everything. But I thought, without money, how this can be done? That was the difference of opinion with Krishna. Argument. So he was in his thinking, Krishna sort of speaking within his heart. There's a difference of opinion there. Krishna's thinking, even as a pauper, you don't need money, I will provide everything. And Prabhupada's thinking, I think better, in this conversation he says, I noticed that, all my other god brothers, they're begging, and finding it very difficult to preach and getting just a little like that, and I thought, I will do something, like that. So, anyway, Krishna had a different plan. So then he says, and I was dreaming also, Guru Maharaj was asking me, come on. So I was going. Like this. So gradually, Srila Prabhupada, and that brings us up to where you see Srila Prabhupada approach Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati the core for the second time. So we might have a 5-minute break here, or 5-10 minute break here. Yeah. Yes. We can meet if anyone's interested. I'm going to just one second. I'll be coming back at 10:30. I'll be singing some bhajans, and then we'll continue this discussion if anyone's. Well, he said that through Krishna he actually became more wealthy than hundreds of dealers. So he was saying in his chart he could have been as wealthy as Bearded, that's what this, but through Krishna he exceeded that a hundredfold. So yes.